So I started writing A Mission for Meaning. And then once my wife broke the news to me that she was pregnant, it really changed the way I finished writing a book.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by True Earth. One of the things about being a dad has taught me is to look at things differently. It's okay to change things up from the way you used to do things. I want to make sure that this world is in a better place for my kids. How do I do that? One way is to choose products that are good for the environment. One company that is looking to help out our planet is True Earth. They started up their company to create less waste and less harm for our planet. True Earth Eco Strips are a smarter way to clean laundry. Their zero-waste laundry detergent sheets pack ultra-concentrated cleaning power into pre-measured laundry strips that you throw right into the wash. Its low-sudsing formula works in all types of washing machines, including high-efficiency machines. It cleans just as well as my previous laundry detergent, but takes up less space and is easy to use. It makes your laundry chore easier, healthier, and more economical and better for our planet. And as the one who does the laundry in our house, I've been using True Earth Eco Strips for a few weeks now, and I've been happy with the results. We are using the Lilac Breeze scent, and we're all digging that scent. It takes up less space than the traditional detergent jugs. It has helped make laundry day less messy and keeps my family's clothes looking and feeling and smelling clean all day. My listeners can use the code Art of Fatherhood for 10% off their purchase. Go to true.earth to check out their products. That's TRU.earth. True Earth, clean, green, and simple.
What's going on, everybody? Another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast, and I'm very happy to have Gabriel Conti. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure to be here, and I love the whole background that you have. Your whole setup is just, it's A1.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate that. Before we started recording, I was just like, it's really cool for everything that you and your family are got going on right now. Of course, your book, which you're going to talk about in a second, A Mission for Meaning, which is great because I think a baby is a mission for meaning because you and your wife are blessed with your first child. So I love bringing guys talk about their fatherhood journey, man. And you just became a dad. So
yeah.
When you're going through, like, what was going through your mind when you found out the news that you were going to be a dad, sir?
I mean, I felt like I was ready for it. I don't know why I was expecting to be to have problems getting pregnant for some reason. I was just like, we'll probably be one of those couples that'll have problems. So like after, you know, a few years, because we weren't necessarily trying, but we weren't not trying also, if that makes sense. So like, I was just like, you know what, we'll after like, you know, a year or two, we'll probably be like, okay, let's go to a doctor or whatever. But it ended up, you know, it was definitely a surprise, but it didn't like catch us too off guard or whatever. You know, we were ready for it. It just like completely changed my perspective on so many things. And actually, because I started writing the book about a year and a half before we were pregnant. So I started writing A Mission for Meaning. And then once my wife broke the news to me that she was pregnant, it really changed the way I finished writing the book. It changed every time I'd like go back and review something, reread something, re-edit stuff. It really kind of, I don't know, the perspective shift on everything really changed. And just in life in general, I kind of had like a little crisis that I had to work through a bit. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm becoming a dad. And then I was like going through all my own like childhood stuff that I like hadn't dealt with yet. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to like get myself together. You know, if I prepared for it a lot, I don't even think I could have fully been actually prepared for it. You know what I mean? Like it just, yeah. People can tell you about parenting and what to expect and stuff, but man, like these past 2 months have been so, not so different, but like I understand now what people are saying, but there was no way I was understanding it before.
Yep, you know, man, like seriously, when you hold your baby for the first time, you're like, wow, this like, and just kind of going with the book and the revelation that you're going to be a dad, you know, you mentioned just kind of looking back at the book and things you were writing. What an interesting perspective to have where you think about one thing and then you realize this other big responsibility, probably the biggest responsibility, right? You're going to have, you're becoming a dad. And then you're probably kind of maybe, you know, when people are writing books, they have an editor and they're like, all right, what do you think? You almost were like probably self-editing yourself before you send it in, right?
Yeah, I actually did quite a bit. I went through the whole, there was like a period of 2 months. It was between like the end of 2021 and the beginning of 2022, where I was going through, I just spent a few hours every day just going through the whole book again and rewriting so much of it. Cause it's crazy, man. Like, so just so much of my personal perspective really shifted, on life in general and what I was focusing on. Cause so much of you are like way more selfish before being a parent than after. So I realized as soon as we got the news that my wife broke the news to me, I realized like, I need to change the way I operate or else I'm not going to have time to be a good father, you know? Yeah. And I had to do like a lot of scaling back on different projects I was working on and kind of just stick to the things that were, I guess, like the most important stuff that I needed to work wise, you know, because, you know, my wife and I, we both work together and make our videos together and do social media and all that stuff. And then I also had like different side projects that I was doing as well. And it was just, that was like majority of our life was working on those things. And when I was thinking of the time commitment that would probably be the case when I become a dad, I was like, I need to really, I guess, maximize my time for fatherhood rather than spending all my time, you know, working on my business stuff. So yeah, that was one thing that really changed was the perspective shift on like my time being for me versus now it's going to be really for someone else, you know?
Yeah, man, no doubt. Thank you very much for sharing that. And, you know, it's cool that, you know, you and your wife work together, you guys have that relationship, you know, you have the family relationship, the marriage, but then you also have the business side of things. And so yeah. I'm guessing, you know, especially where you guys come from, because you're a creative guy, you're writing a book, you know, you have music, you guys have these videos and all that stuff. So creativity and just kind of thinking in a different way of looking at things. I think especially someone like you and your wife, you guys are creators. To make successful video, you got to kind of think like, how do I do this? That's a different perspective, but people kind of, you know, can draw in on that they can relate to, but it's a different perspective that you guys do, right? So I know creativity and probably thinking outside the box, maybe some values. Before I put any more words in your mouth, talk about some other values you're looking to instill in.
Kai is her name and she's 2 months old. And yeah, just some core values. Jess and I both are Christian. Faith is very important to us. So definitely a lot of values from our faith we want to influence into our child. I have approached this like mentally thinking about, you know, because 2 months old, we're cleaning throw up and changing diapers. That's like, that's our parenting right now. But when I think of like, oh, we're going to actually have to parent and, you know, everything else, the discipline and the teaching and all the things that are going to have to take place. I really think of one quote that like really changed my perspective on parenting in general is I'm raising my grandchildren's parents, which like through like that, I was like, okay, so when I approach parenting, I'm going to approach it to create competent, well-rounded adults, not just well-behaved children, you know? So, and I'm still figuring out what that looks like. I haven't, you know, we haven't fully dove into that yet, but yeah, that quote really kind of has got me thinking a lot. Even before Makai was born, up until now, I'm really like trying to understand. Okay, even from like the perspective of when I don't know when she like hits another kid or something like that. Like, what? How can I teach in that moment? You know, rather than getting them to behave a certain way. What's a way after that to kind of like teach and instill values yeah. of like, oh, this, you know, this is why we don't hit. This is why we act this way rather than just don't hit because I said so, whatever. And really, really thinking long-term. And obviously that will play more, that's probably like toddler years or whatever. But once it gets into, you know, preteen and teen years, then there's a lot of, definitely, I feel like that's when there's going to be a lot of like life, I don't know, like maybe like worldview shaping and just like value shaping and all those sort of things that kids are going to be discovering during that time of like yeah. insane growth and like maturity through those years. So, yeah.
Nice, man. Yeah, I got 2 daughters, 14 and 12. Let me just tell you, like, I think what you said right there about like, I always say, like, I want to make this world a better place for them and I want to make sure that they go on and be happy and productive and you know, just positive people, right? What you said right there about the phrase that caught your attention, where it's like, I'm raising my grandkids' parents. Like, that's like, I love it, man. That's legit. And it just kind of, I think you and your wife are on the right path of just like making sure you're laying down that groundwork for a good foundation, man. I love that. And two more questions before we kind of get into your book and just like your career and all that good stuff. And I feel like you already kind of shared some of this already, but like, what is something that your daughter has taught you either about yourself or about life that, you know, I know you kind of mentioned the selfishness thing that you, once you became a dad, you're like, oh, she's here. I got to make sure I'm you know, prioritizing my time for her and all that. But what is something that like she has kind of maybe taught you about life or about yourself in general? I know, like, it's a few weeks in, but like, is there something that you kind of thought of?
I mean, that selfishness is for sure the main one that you're like, wow, I did not expect to feel like this at all. One thing that was crazy actually was, and I think it's more of a realization, but it was like the moment she was born, you know, they placed the baby on my wife, Jess, they placed the baby on her chest and they're doing skin to skin. And I was sitting there looking at this baby. And I was like, I was trying to like process my feelings in the moment. You know, I was having all these feelings or whatever. And I'm just sitting there like looking at this baby. And I was like, what am I like? I feel weird right now. Like, what is this? What is going on? And I think I had this expectation of the way I was going to feel when she was born, which was way different than how I actually felt. And what I thought I was going to feel was this immediate connection. She's born. She's my daughter. She's part of the family. You know, it just is what it is. But until I processed how I was feeling, I felt like I was meeting a stranger for the first time. And now I needed to start a new relationship with this child. And then we didn't name her until after she was born. So then it was like, it was the first time I was calling her by her name. It's like the first time you kind of like meet someone.
Yeah.
And you're like, Johnny, right? And you're like, kind of have to remember what their name is. That's how it was with my daughter. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it really legit is like meeting a stranger for the first time. And it kind of just made me realize, for the most part, at least in my whole life, all of my relationships, other than like with my younger siblings, but still it wasn't like with your own child, all of my relationships, family relationships, parents, grandparents, siblings, they were all like pre-existing. They were all there and they were always there and they're always going to be there. And then even with my wife, like before we got married, there was a whole relationship built up before then. So then once we became family members and we're living in the same house and, you know, all that, there was a pre-existing relationship to that, where now I have this new baby who's my daughter. And this is the first time I'm meeting her.
Yeah.
And that was like a weird, like, oh, there's a relationship here that needs to be built and it's going to take work and it's going to take effort. And that like moment was really I don't know, kind of like an epiphany, like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
it's not just like a relationship that this family member's always been here. Like this is actually going to take effort to foster a really good relationship, friendship. I think that's like one of the main things that I took away, and at least immediately, which was, you know, only 2 months ago, but
it's beautiful, yeah. Man. No, seriously, I appreciate you sharing that. And the question I usually ask before we get into other topics is the last question, like, is there a dad hack or a piece of advice? You're kind of new to this, so maybe I'll kind of change it up a little bit to make it a little bit easier on you. Is there, and because I bet once you told your friends and family you're going to be a dad, everyone's like, well, you got to do this, you got to do this, right? One of the reasons why I have this podcast is just to like help new dads kind of like on their fatherhood journey, because I feel like the pieces of advice I get are really good from dad. So because you're super new to it, you can share a piece of advice or a dad hack. Like for me, I'll tell you, no matter if you think you've restocked the diaper bag before you go out, check that diaper bag. Just you don't want to be changing a bad diaper and you thought you had either wipes or a diaper in there. So my hack to you is just like, I don't even care if you're going to get gas and you're taking for a drive. Just double check there's stuff in there, right?
Because I want
to
help you guys out.
But is there a piece of advice that you receive that you're like, this is really good? So you can either share a piece of advice, a dad hack, or share a piece of advice you received that like, this was actually a good piece of advice.
I mean, I would revert back to what I said before about that quote that caught me off guard of like, you're raising your, that, you know, that's obviously on a deeper level. You're raising your grandkids, you're raising your grandkids' parents. But on the day-to-day stuff, you know, what's funny, the Duna stroller, the Duna, like, we couldn't, so we spent the first, we actually just got back to the US and we spent the first 2 months in Australia because we were around, we spent the last bit of Jess's pregnancy in Australia to be around her family. And then she, we had the baby in Australia and then spent the first 2 months and we just flew back like a week ago.
Okay.
And we couldn't use the Duna stroller in Australia because they have like a different, they have a rule where you have to have like another strap that the Duna doesn't have. Like when you, so we were taking the baby out, we were taking Micaiah out of the car seat and putting her in the stroller every time and then having to like restrap her in and stuff. And man, that Duna, that thing, just, you just fold it up, put it in the car, take it out. She stays asleep. You don't have to wake her up every time you put her in and take her in and out of the car seat. It's a game changer. And then since we were like, this is going to be great. Then we realized we couldn't use it in Australia. And since we've been back just for this past week, we're like, oh my goodness. Thank God that we can use this thing now. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to us.
You got to think, like, before you became a dad, you would not even think about on a podcast talking about how great of a stroller is, right?
Oh, I know, but it's changed our lives. It honestly has. It's crazy. It's so funny. Yeah, thinking about, like, a few months ago, me like, telling people to buy a specific stroller, but, you know, here we are. Yeah.
That's awesome,
by the stroller and the book.
Yeah, so let's go talk about the book, man. A Mission for Meaning, the choices that lead to the life you really want.
Yeah.
And that's a great piece, like maybe parenting advice as well, like kind of like making sure you're focused on being a good parent, being a good, you know, spouse, all that good stuff. But obviously you started writing this before you knew you were going to become a dad. What was like some of the inspiration for this book? Because obviously you guys are sharing your life, right? So people kind of know, I hate to say, like, use that cliche, like your life is kind of like an open book already, but, and you know this more than I do, man. A lot of people take your video and they will, like, you know, there's a lot of people supporting you and I get that, but of course you're going to have those trolls and everyone's going to take like, oh, I bet he meant this. It's like, I didn't mean it. I didn't know. So maybe was this book just to kind of share and like put your words to, you know, paper and just kind of share your thoughts about just your life, but like, and how to, you know, finally, you know, have meaning in your life. But why did you want to write this book, sir?
Yeah, that, but also deeper. It was more like sharing things that I haven't shared before. And then even going back to like back generationally and telling my parents' story, my grandparents' story, and how their choices and their life didn't just impact their life. It's impacting generation after generation based off the choices that they made and like direction shifts that they made that have impacted my life. So it was actually really therapeutic writing the book because I wouldn't have, you know, intentionally is actually one of the main words that we use over and over in the book, is like living intentionally. But I would have never intentionally sat down with my parents and been like, tell me everything. What was like your guys' story, all the details, you know, and sit there with a recorder to get all the information and, you know, take it all back and turn it into, you know, pages and pages of story in this book. But learning about their story and then my grandparents' stories and just really seeing what their lives really were and how that changed and affected the family over the generations. And now it's crazy because I'm basically where this book ends. I finished writing the book, like we you know, put the bow on it before Micaiah was born. But it was while Jess was pregnant. So it's this like crazy, nearly four generation, like recap. That's kind of like a send off to this next chapter in my life of being a father and us raising this next generation and seeing the changes that happened through all the generations. And really it, through all of that, it's really like trying to find the reason I named it A Mission for Meaning was because you know, it's always something that I am trying to, you know, figure out myself and really understanding where I come from, who I really am, what is my identity, not just like in what I think it is myself, but also like within the, I guess, fingerprint of my life or of time and like my family's life. And how has that affected me? How does that change my identity? How does that change my meaning in life? And just, yeah, really taking that approach and then infusing, I mentioned, you know, my faith and infusing that into it and really figuring out like, okay, where in this crazy, you know, jumble of a world that we live in, where am I finding my purpose and my identity and my meaning? And how does that shape the mission of life that I'm on? You know, yeah. So that's really where I was going at with this book. And like you mentioned, all of our videos that we do, we've really leaned into one of my favorite, it's not really a quote, but it's, you know, something that I say to myself is like impact through story. And we've really learned to do that a lot through just like sharing our life on social media and seeing social media and YouTube and, you know, all the platforms. But
yeah,
there's too many now to count. But, you know, sharing our life through story, it's not like we sit down and just like give life advice or anything like that. We're just kind of like living our lives and documenting it and seeing how that's actually impacted lives across the world. I knew like when I write a book, I want to, yeah, I'll like share my opinions and thoughts on certain things, but it's going to be through the lens of telling stories. This one being, you know, my story, my family story.
No yeah. doubt, man. And I think also too, what a great legacy to leave for your daughter, right?
And it's crazy, man. Yeah. It is pretty nuts. Like when the first time I like read it back fully after we kind of had the first draft done, it was pretty nuts sitting there being like, oh my gosh, I unintentionally created like a family document that like my children will be able to read. Even my siblings, they'll be able to read it and their kids will be able to read it and kind of see this, you know, multi-generational progression of where our family has come from.
Nice, man. And what do you hope people will take away? I mean, since you're the author and all that, what do you
hope
people will take away from your art in the sense of your book? And, you know, because you get people's reactions on the different platforms, right? But like for this book, what do you hope people will take away from you once they're done reading this?
I hope that people really take hold of and understand the gravity of the choices that they make day to day. You know, the choices that lead to the life you really want is, you know, the subtitle of the book. And it really just encapsulates what I've been like trying to develop in my own life, but then also what I'm trying to parlay in the book.
Yeah.
And how just the smallest choices that you're making day to day can really, really impact things long term. You know, even just like a simple 10 to 15 minute conversation with your wife every day about where you guys are at and your feelings. Like if you could not see each other for the whole day, and then if you just make sure at night to do that before, you know, you guys say goodnight and go to sleep, that connection, those 15 minutes will compound over time. And I talk about it in the book a little bit. It's kind of like compound interest, you know, and how that works. If you're making specific choices, they're going to have compound interest over the course of your entire life. And it's not something to take lightly, you know. The choices that you're making are going to have consequences, whether good or bad. And if you're not aware of it or kind of ignore, like, you know, it's fine, I don't need to worry about it, like I'll just live my life, you'll be letting life happen to you, and therefore the consequences of your life will play out in that way versus, you know, being very intentional with life and being very intentional with the choices you're making.
Yeah.
And really, and you know, you're not in control of everything, but you're in control of yourself and you're in control of what you're in control of. And if you are intentional with that, and intentional with your choices and the way you respond to things, you know, you won't be able to control everything that happens, but you'll be able to steer the ship in a direction that will be more beneficial to your life than not.
That's why people need to pick up this book, man. Because no, you're a bit younger than me, but like the stuff that you're spitting out, man, it just seems like she's obviously, you know, you see the Star Wars stuff back there, but it's like that Yoda mentality of just taking a look at things.
Let's go.
but the idea of something that you just talked about, like spending 15 minutes with your spouse, if you have a hectic day, right? Mm-hmm. Because you want, like I always tell my kids, like put stock in people who are putting stock in you, right? And vice mm-hmm. versa, make sure you're there for your friends. And of course, as you become parents, whether you're single, whether you're co-parenting, whatever the case may be, or you're both living under the same roof, if you disconnect, like one of the things that sometimes parents say is like, don't disconnect from your spouse, even though the kid's here and you got your job and all this other stuff, like make sure you're still there with your spouse. You don't lose that identity. And what you said right there is so impactful and so powerful. So I just kind of wanted to highlight that because, man, you're speaking the truth so many times. So people, make sure you put up the book. And of course, we'll put up links where people can purchase it. One more question before we finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Entrepreneur, like music, videos, all that good stuff. You're on those different, you know, like TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, all that good stuff. But like, is there, and this is almost like tough saying this, but is there, like, do you like creating music videos? Like, what is your like biggest passion point? And the most, and I know it's maybe a tough question, but like, is there one thing that you enjoy doing the most out of all the different things that you guys do?
Yeah, it's funny. The way I got into all the entertainment stuff was through musical theater, but really acting was like my favorite thing. But it's kind of like a dilemma that I always deal with. I'm very into film and TV, and that's, you know, kind of like the bigger dream, but I got into entertainment through all the social media stuff. I started on Vine way back in the day, that turned into YouTube, and, you know, it kind of like grew from there. But that business, and especially when my wife came into my life and we started doing it together, that whole business started going really well, and it's been tough to balance the two, but that's definitely where I see myself going long term, is trying to, you know, create my own film and TV projects. And, you know, I'm not sure what that looks like, especially in this digital age. There's so much changing and so much is developing all the time. I'm not entirely sure yet, like, how I'm going to, you know, tackle that. I'm trying to like put a little strategy together for my career and stuff like that. But yeah. You know, but creativity in most forms, I love and enjoy writing music, obviously writing a book, and just all those things. I used to draw a ton when I was a kid. Like, I have, you know, folders of different drawings that I had. So it's just like, I've always kind of been that creative kid of just like do whatever that's creative. But yeah. As far as like the bigger vision for my career specifically, it's trying to lean more into like film and TV, creating, you know, scripted stuff.
Nice, man. I almost think like you're going to be there sooner than later, man. So I can't wait to see what you're going to do. Thank you. Thank you again for taking your time to share about this. Now we're going to finish off with the Father Quick Five. And some of these questions are maybe a little bit premature because obviously your daughter's a little bit young and she's not going to be watching movies and listening to music, but favorite family movie. Is there a movie that you and your wife are like, we can't wait to introduce it to her when she gets to a certain age to sit down and watch a movie with you guys?
Favorite family movie. I could say for a TV show, The Office. Okay. You know, but as far as like movies, but Jess and I actually have a very, very different taste in movies. For myself, I'm going to be selfish here and ignore all the advice that I gave to everyone before. But I would probably say like Lord of the Rings, like Star Wars, Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings just has the, I just watched the Fellowship of the Ring again because I'm going through the Rings of Power that just came out on Amazon. And I just watched the Fellowship of the Ring again. And it's just, there's like, it's such amazing storytelling, world building throughout the whole thing, what Tolkien did, just with all of the whole world of Middle Earth and stuff like that. And then just so many of the moral dilemmas he infused for, like, every single character has like insane moral dilemmas that they're working through. And it, you know, it's not just a cool adventure fantasy thing. It's, you're learning like insane life lessons throughout it. So it's, that's definitely one that I well, all the Lord of the Rings movies, but yeah, that's definitely one that I would want to sit down and watch with her for sure.
Nice, man. That's great. Is there an artist you can't wait to introduce her to when she gets to a certain age to appreciate that music?
Probably Ed Sheeran. He's just well-rounded, just banger after banger, amazing songwriter. You know, he's like truly like a songwriter, yep. Which is cool. So just like from a creative perspective and seeing like where someone could actually take that with a career is cool.
So, you know, I know you guys just got back from Australia, so I get that. But like, describe the perfect family vacation. Where do you think it'll be?
Perfect family vacation. Other than Australia, to see Jess's family.
Good save right there. Good job.
Yeah, I had to say it. The second, a close second. You know, probably somewhere in Europe. We haven't, Jess and I, there's a whole like separate story, which it's actually, I talk about it in the book, but just like getting Jess's residency was really difficult for us. And we weren't able to travel for the first 2.5 years of our marriage. We couldn't leave the country. So we haven't traveled to a lot of places in Europe, but there's like a bucket list of where we want to go. Because we had like 6 months of being able to travel, then COVID hit. So then that was a whole other thing. And then now we have the baby. So there's like, we haven't spent a lot of time traveling outside the United States other than Australia when we were able to. But yeah, I'm sure we'll probably find somewhere in Europe that like we fall in love with, and that'll be a place that we want to go. My wife Jess has like a whole bucket list of places in Europe to travel to. So not exactly sure yet. But
you got time.
that or Hawaii. Hawaii is, we've gone there multiple times, and Hawaii is just one of the most beautiful places. Yeah. Nice.
So dream collaboration. You get an email the next day, like, hey, Gabriel, we want to work. You so and so wants to work with you on a project. Who would that person be?
Chris Pratt.
Nice.
Just big fan. Love what he's done with his career, from just like the comedy of Parks and Rec and taking that all the way to like serious, you know, action. His range has been so big. And he's an inspiring dude. Nice. He's a father, great. You know, so just look up to him.
Great choice right there. And again, like, I'm guessing you saw all the different Marvel movies in the MCU.
Yeah.
The biggest payoffs from that long stretch to me. So when it's in Endgame and, you know, they're time traveling, and then you see, because like when you're watching Guardians of the Galaxy, you're hearing the artists, the musicians play like, hey, like that. But then in Endgame, you hear him singing. They're like, this guy? I just love that.
Yeah, it's so good. He really like brought, I feel like he was one of the guys who brought comedy more heavily into the MCU.
Yeah.
You know, once the first Guardians came out and, you know, you're like cracking up at so many of the things that he's doing, it was like, oh, this works for superhero movies, actually. You know, we don't all have to, not every superhero movie has to be a Dark Knight or something like that, you know? Yeah.
And lastly, top three words you hope your daughter would use to describe you as a dad, what would you want them to be?
Loving, available, and teacher or mentor.
Nice. Three words right there. Great three words. People, make sure you follow Gabriel if you're not doing it yet on all the social media platforms, because Gabriel Conte, and also pick up Mission for Meaning, The Choices That Lead the Life You Really Want, wherever books are sold. And of course, we'll put up links where you can purchase a book. Thank you so, and again, I know you're busy, especially having a 2-month-old. I really appreciate your insight, your time, and I wish you and your family continued success, sir.
Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Great talking to you.
I want to thank True Earth for sponsoring this week's Art of Fatherhood podcast. Again, I love working with companies that are looking to make this world a better place for our kids and future generations. So please help the companies that are helping me here at the Art of Fatherhood promote good fatherhood, good parenting, and ways to leave this earth in a better place for our kids and future generations. Check them out at true.earth, that's TRU.earth, and use the code Art of Fatherhood for 10% off their purchase. And also go to artoffatherhood.net. you can have a chance to check out some great articles like the weekly Dad's Doing It Right column, the Collector of the Week, and many more. Plus, you have a chance to win some very cool prizes like video games, collectibles, all that good stuff. Go to artoffatherhood.net, and please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, because I'll greatly appreciate it to get the word out on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.